Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going. Today we're going to be talking about the end times, you know. Today we're actually going to go into Revelation chapter 6 and talk about the four horsemen. Come on now, these four horsemen. This is obviously four different color horses. If you actually check the colors on these, this is also the color of the Islamic flag. But Jesus begins to predict through this guy by the name of John, who is on the Isle of Patmos, about what these horses mean. In today's message, mostly I'm going to be dealing with the black horse and the scales, the blind justice. If you've been following me for a while at all, you know that God spoke to me about the crash of 2008 and about the crash of 2020. So we're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk about, speaking of re-entering, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back on a white horse. Come on now. He's going to split that eastern sky, and he's going to have many crowns. Also, back to the four horsemen, there is a guy coming back on a white horse before Jesus comes back, and that's the Antichrist. So we're going to help you understand that. And then, of course, last but not least, talking about re-entering. Launching into new environments causes pressure. If you think about us going to the moon, remember that? Back in 1969, Kennedy has the idea we're going to go to the moon. How far is that away? It was 238,000 roughly, depending on the day, and 900 miles away. That's a long way, y'all. And they had to enter this atmosphere. They did what they did. We know that. And then they re-entered. When they were entering and re-entering through the space shuttle, we've seen it a lot of times here in the state of Florida now. When the space shuttle comes down, there's a lot of friction. There's a lot of heat. There's a lot of pressure. And then they go to land back on the ground here in America. We've seen this so many times now. But there's a lot of pressure changing. Let's talk about pressure for a minute. I'm a pilot, right? So I land airplanes, not a space shuttle, but your own little shuttle. And when you land, there's this thing right here, and this is called your altimeter. You know that. They always say, you know, your attitude determines your altitude. Well, when you're flying along, there's this altimeter. Now, this is the barometric pressure setting, which can change anytime you're flying. You have to change this because there's not a really standard day. We know barometric pressure is 29.92. They teach us that in flight school. But when you go to land, whether that's the space shuttle or any aircraft, you have to adjust what's in that little window for what the pressure is now. Now, let's talk about the weather. You know this. Let's just really break it down for a second. You know, they get on with a green screen, right? And they're like, over St. Louis or Florida, there is a pressure, a high pressure is coming in. What's high pressure associated with? High pressure is associated with good times. Come on. The beach is open. The sun is out. Sun's out, guns out, high pressure. Low pressure is associated with rain, clouds, trouble, right? We're going to talk about that today. What are the barometric pressure? What is the signs of his coming? Where are we right now? We're seeing some pretty crazy things happening. We talked about it in Saturday's service last night, and we're going to get even more into more stuff today. Some stuff we're not going to be able to cover, so you probably have to go back and watch that again. But are we in the end times? As we discuss, what is the sign of the coming of Jesus? Oftentimes, it's just like a domino effect. The end times actually started not today when Ebola hit or when COVID-19 hit or when all these trials came. There was a domino that was tripped 2,000 years ago in Acts 2. Acts 2, there were all these people in one mind and one accord. There's something also very powerful about us being in one room worshiping God. I believe that's why part of this Antichrist spirit is on the loose right now to keep us out. None of us got to go to church on Good Friday, globally. None of us got to go to Mass or church on Easter Sunday. That Holy Week was all stolen by this Antichrist suppression that has hit our world today. So what do we do? When did the end time start? It started there in Acts 2. And so I want to pause on that for a minute and go to chapter 6 of Revelation. It says this in the dark horse that I want to talk about. It says, but when the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being saying, come. I looked up and I saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands. The black horse, in fact, I want to put it up again, the four horsemen. The black horse is always a sign of famine and economic downturn. The scales that he is holding, by the way, this is the four horsemen of the apocalypse. God gave me a dream, and I want to talk about that many years ago. Actually, in about 2007, I had a dream, and I saw a black horse. Now, this is before I understood the four horsemen and what I'm breaking down for you today. And there was this guy that used to go to my dad's church a long, long time ago. I hadn't seen him in like 20 years. Nicole had never heard of this cat. And one Sunday morning, right before we had just started the Earth City campus, but it wasn't at that building. We didn't know it was our building. We were in a beer hall. How many of y'all remember that? Some of you were with me then. So we had the church in Fenton, which we don't have anymore. And we had the beer hall over there. And so the heart of St. Charles. And so that morning I woke up and I told Nicole, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw this guy who used to go to my dad's church. And I saw his wife coming to the church, which now I know is Earth City Campus. And she had this black horse. Let's put it up again there. What, gosh, you guys are good. The black horse. The beautiful black horse. Man, the confirmation was unbelievable. Its head, it was beautiful. And then this guy had a minivan full of Easter eggs. Now, when they showed up, God spoke to me exactly what it meant. Now, again, I hadn't seen this guy 20 years. I go to the bathroom that morning. I tell Nicole, man, I had this dream about so-and-so. She said, who's that? Used to go to dad's church 20 years ago. That very Sunday, you talk about prophetic dreams. That Sunday, I go preach at Fenton. I go to Heart of St. Charles. I come back for the second service at Fenton. And there that guy sits. Can you imagine my surprise? I'm like, oh. I was kind of incoherent for a couple minutes. I had to say, hey, guys, sorry. I see a friend that I haven't seen in a long time. And regathered my thoughts, went and preached a sermon, and at the end, the guy walks up to me. I said, good to see you. He said, man, I haven't seen you in like 20 years, but the last time I was here, your dad gave me a word that God was going to run millions of dollars through my hands. Again, the black horse represents money. It represents famine. It represents the world system. By the way, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. There is an exchange happening right now in 2020 through 2025. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. There's going to be massive money that's going to exchange. Not necessarily into the hands of believers, but it's just going to move. Money is moving. Interest rates are changing. The whole world's economic system has been shut down through COVID-19, but none of this took God by surprise. I saw that in the dream in 2007, right? I saw the beaches being shut down, the business being shut down. We're right there. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Somebody write that on Facebook. Believe ye the prophets and so shall you prosper. Please pay attention to this right now. I'm having this dream about the black horse. The guy says, hey, I had this thing from your dad years ago. And God did just that. And I felt like God told me, you have a word for me. Thank God I told Nicole, because Nicole says he did. He had a dream about you this morning. Can you imagine? This guy really wants to get with me. The next day I go down to his office and there's hundreds and hundreds of employees. We go down and have lunch. Now here's the kicker though. God says, you can't tell him what it means. So I tell him the dream. I saw you, your wife with this beautiful black horse. I saw you with this minivan, beautiful minivan full of gorgeous eggs, like you would put Easter eggs. And he said, what does that mean? And I said, I don't know. And he says, where's the prophets like your father? Of course, this was a test in my humility because I was so embarrassed and humiliated because I did know, but his anger, his rage, his pride, he's used to getting what he wants. Let that be a lesson to all of us. I walked away. He turned back around and said, I said his name, his wife's name, said, I will tell so-and-so you said hello. And I'm like, that's why now, you know, years and years and years and years later, what is it, 11 years later or whatever, now I always say, I'll tell your wife I said hello, because I got schooled. I was embarrassed. A few weeks later, he called me because God said, when he calls you the second time, you can inform him what this means. So he calls me up and says, I got a feeling you know more than what you're telling me. And I said, I actually do. He sends a private jet to St. Louis, picks me and Nicole up, takes us to their island home. And he says, tell me what it means. And I said, the dark horse has to do with you being in the stock business, in the stock market. And the eggs are, you're putting all your eggs in one basket. And God says, you've been taking all your eggs to your church. He didn't go to our church, but you've been showing God all your eggs. You've been showing God all your wealth, but you haven't given any to him. Now, don't give our church any. I'm just saying what God told me. He's going to take all your eggs. And he said, you know what? That makes sense. Then and there, God was giving him an opportunity. I'm talking to you right now. There's always God doesn't tell you this stuff so you can be like, I'm going to live on the edge and go, when is he going to take my eggs? When is he going to destroy my life? No, he warns us. The Bible says to be forewarned is to be forearmed. That's why I'm talking today about the the apocalypse. I'm talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, because these things in biblical prophecy should not scare you. They should caution you that we live in the last days. I want you to put up that slide. Get a hold of this. Caution, we're living in the last days. Now, the last days, remember I showed you the domino effect. If the last days started 2,000 years ago, we must be in the last milliseconds of this game. That's why God is telling us today to make sure everybody understands what is happening through biblical prophecy. The Bible said in the end of time, there would be wars and rumors of wars, that men would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, that people wouldn't even regard God or the things of God anymore. Does that sound like America today? Does that sound like the world today? When God gave me that original dream where he showed me the blind justice, he told me, you're going to have to balance this prophetic thing that you have along with this soul-reaching thing you have, which is, you've seen me do it a million times, not pointing the finger at you this way, I'm pointing it this way. Here to put a ring on your finger, a rope on your back. I'm not mad about you. I'm mad at you. I'm mad about you. I'm madly in love with you. We preach to a lot of prodigals. A lot of you watching today, you started coming to Faith Church and it became one of the greatest churches in America because of this prophetic message that God gave me. When God gave me the dream of the black horse about the guy, it wasn't to say it's not changeable. God is saying, no, there's another way. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and there'll be many there that find it. Narrow is the world, is the road that leads to eternal life. Now, right now in current culture, because we're living in the last days, Oprah says there's many ways to God. All these different people say there's many ways to God. And no offense on any people, but don't get your advice from the famous people you see on television. Get your advice from the Bible. I'm talking about from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. You got to believe the whole part. Now, there's parts of this thing I hate. I don't like many parts. I wish I could just cut a lot of parts of it out. Like, I don't want that part. I don't agree to that. But this isn't a prenuptial. This is God saying, I'm God, you're not, and here's the way it's going to go. In fact, this thing is so up to date, it's beyond what our current newspaper is today. Now, I don't want you to be afraid. That's why the Bible said in Isaiah 41:10, fear not. Let's put it up there. Fear not, for I am with you. Come on, Facebook. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hands. God's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't want to take your eggs. He doesn't want the horse of famine to affect your life. He's just saying, be warned, this is going to happen, and I want you on the word side, not the world side. I'm going to say it again. I want you on the side of the word, not the side of the world. So back to that black horse. Eventually, long story short, that guy ended up doing all the wrong things. Pride kept him back. He didn't heed to the beckoning of the Lord. And how a guy with this much money, I mean, it's like Michael Jackson money. Like, I went around the world with this guy on his dime. How you could lose all of that money, how every egg could be extracted from you, and he's lost everything he owns and he lives in a rental apartment today. How's that even possible? I'm here to tell you that this God that I'm talking about does not want us to be deceived in the last days by, let's put up the four horsemen here. You guys are good by these four horsemen. These represent different things in the world. Now, I want to talk, says you've got to listen to this. Whatever you do on Facebook, hit share like crazy, comment back to me. Here's what's kind of scary. When this four horsemen come on the earth, in the earth, you and I that receive Jesus and are what I call rapture ready. In other words, my brain is going to a lot of places right now. Rapture ready does not just mean you receive Jesus. In this same book of Revelation, remember this, you know this, God wrote to seven churches. And in the seven churches, he came up to this church, this Laodicean church, and he said, I would that you were hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, it actually says, you make me want to throw up. You make me sick. God is saying, I would you hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, kind of like, yeah, I go to Faith Church, I went through growth track, but if there's a football game, I'm going. Yeah, No. It's when you're on fire for God, it's all you think about. It's all consuming. It's you're on fire from the top of your head, through your loins, down to your feet. You go, everything that's in me, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Because we realize that this that is going to happen, the apocalypse, these four horsemen, these dreaded, vile, demonic beings that are going to possess the United States of America, it's going to happen in the world. When that happens, you want to be on fire for God, hot and ready, because the Lord is coming back with a shout to take his church out. Okay, so just put it this way. You're in your house right now. If your house, all of a sudden, something explosion happened and a gas pipe leaked out and an explosion happened, would you try to go and look for, oh man, I need my little, where's my little China doll? Oh, where's those books at? Or would you just get you and your children out? I know the answer to this. You would get you and your children out. Jesus is saying that through John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I'm coming back after a church, a spotless church without wrinkle. I'm coming back after a church that's on fire. So before the world is consumed by fire, we have to realize that we have to repent. I want to really calm down when I use this next slide that I made. People on earth hate to hear the word repent. Those in hell wish they could hear it one more time. Now, this kind of really bold statement sometimes looks like this. The bullhorn guy outside of Busch Stadium going, you're going to hell! You're going to hell! You bunch of sinners! You're going to hell! I don't like the bullhorn guy. I'm forced to love the bullhorn guy, but I don't like the way he's doing it. So I'm trying to be calm, though, and tell you, though, that there's always some truth in what the bullhorn guy is saying. Repent just simply means to turn around, turn from our wicked ways, turn around, head the other direction. In other words, when God shows you that all your eggs are in one basket, that you're worshiping the stuff more than you're worshiping God, when you worship the creator more than the creation, more than, I can't even say it wrong, when you worship the creation more than the creator, you've got it wrong. God gives you a car and all you do is think about that. God gives you a kid and all you think about is that. All you think about is sports. No, we have to repent because the four horsemen, let's put it up again, these guys are going to enter the earth. And when they enter, I want you to be ready. And I want you to know the difference between the entry of Jesus and the entry of the Antichrist. Now, if we see this here, verse 1, chapter 6 says, and as I watched, the Lamb broke the first of seven seals. Remember, it's broken in seven churches, seven sealed, seven bowls, seven. There's going to be a tribulation for 7 years. You and I won't be here during that time. Hopefully, you won't. Then I heard one of the living beings say, and there was a voice saying, come up hither. So I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there, and its rider carried a bow and a crown, and placed on his head, he rode in to win many battles and gain the victory. This is a antichrist appearing to be Jesus. That's why you got to go to church and have your kids raised in church, because when the four horsemen come, at one point, people who are just kind of haphazardly seeing this on Facebook, when they're here during the tribulation, and they turn on the faucets and blood comes out, when you cannot buy or sell, can't go to Starbucks, can't go to Costco, you can't go to any place unless you have the mark of the beast on your hand or your forehead, 666, that's really going to happen. This is the guy that's going to do it. So people are going to see him because he's going to do fake miracles. The reason why he's coming back after on a white horse is he wants to look like Jesus. The reason why he's going to have a crown, Jesus, when he comes back in Revelation 19, he's coming back with many crowns. Why? Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it's different. So just for sure, listen to me and hear this part. When you see somebody come and enter the world and he only has one crown, even though he's doing miracles, it's not Jesus. Jesus is going to have many crowns. Plus, Jesus is also going to have a vest that says faithful and true, and his loins will be covered with blood. And there's going to be a sword coming out of his mouth, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Come on, Faith Church. Somebody say amen. Hit share like this, like crazy. People need to hear this. I'm talking about the apocalypse, and I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus, and we are living in the last days. Now, I want to go to Daniel right quick and explain why it is that God would give me a dream like that. The dream when he told me about the crash of 2007 and 2020. God uses people prophetically. There's a prophetic voice on my life. I'm not just a pastor. I'm prophetic. I see it. And the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. You'll judge it by the fruit. How do we know if it comes true or not? We've seen it. A lot of you have been with me. Say amen to that if you have. Verse 23 says, and I thank and praise God to my ancestors who have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we ask of you. You have revealed to us what the king demanded. You have revealed to us what the king has demanded. There's revealed knowledge that comes from God in dreams. Verse 19 says, The night of the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Daniel praised God of heaven. He said, praise the name of God forever, for he has all wisdom and all power. He controls the course of the world's events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholar. He reveals the deep and mysterious things. God was giving Daniel dreams in the time of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. God was giving Daniel prophetic insight into what was happening. However, if you remember this, they were being abused. Think about the three Hebrew children being thrown in the fire. Why? That was a political system. So many people are being thrown in the fire right now. Even a lot of our preacher friends are being arrested. Can you imagine that? In Kentucky, especially in different parts of the country, they're saying, Home Depot can gather hundreds of people and IKEA can have hundreds of people and Walmart can have hundreds of people, but the church? No, you can't have anybody. Starbucks, you're smart enough to hand out coffee and Chick-fil-A, you're smart enough to hand out food, but the church wasn't smart enough to hand out Easter eggs. We're too stupid for that. There is an antichrist spirit that is happening during this pandemic. I'm telling you, there's plans and plots and ploys of the enemy that is setting up for the antichrist spirit. All the antichrist really is just antichrist. I'm anti-Diet Coke. I'm anti-abortion. This is the antichrist. They're anti anything that has to do with the Christ, the anointed one, his anointed. How many of y'all are pro Jesus, right? You're pro life. You're pro the word of God. There is a distinction happening right now, though, where they're trying to make it irrelevant and unreal. And I'm begging you today to know that we are living in the last days and teach your children this. My daddy taught me this. My grandma taught me this. And I got to make sure you understand the difference between the antichrist and the literal coming. Now, again, in Acts 2, I want to read that. It says, verse 17, it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I'm having both right now, so I think I'm in the middle. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs below. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Acts 2, when the end of time, the apocalypse began, they're quoting Joel 2:28, which goes on, and you can say it on your own time. Write that down on Facebook. They're quoting Joel 2. Now, I want us to go to Revelation 19. Are you enjoying this? Revelation 19, we're going to see not the Antichrist. We're going to see the real Christ. Let's put up Jesus up there on the cross. You're going to see Jesus coming in. He'll have, and that's enough. We can go back to our graphic. It's so cool. Jesus comes in with multiple crowns on his head, and we're going to see what you're looking for. This is what you're looking for. You don't want, it's like a $20 bill. There are no fake counterfeit $18 bills because there are no $18 bills. They counterfeit 20s because there's a real. There's the difference between the counterfeit in chapter 6 and the real in 19. Now, 7 years after, you see the Antichrist roll in on the fake horse. It's real, but it's not Jesus. 7 years later, you're going to see Jesus come back. And here's what he's writing in verse 11, chapter 19. Then I saw the heaven opened up and a white horse standing there. And its rider's name was Faithful and True. That's your God. For the judges, he judges fairly and he wages righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire. His head were many crowns. And on the name, was written, no one understood but himself. He wore this robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven dressed in their finest and pure linen followed him on the white horse. For out of his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of Almighty God like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, it is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is happening at this moment when Jesus returns? Now remember, Jesus has now taken us up. And now for the last 7 years, we have been seated with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're eating, you're partying, you're singing, Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like a sun. Okay. At the trumpets, we're there. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, right? Oh, when the saints go marching in, we're all up there. Down here, though, let's put up the apocalypse again, the four horsemen. Down here, 3.5 years is the tribulation. The last 3.5 is the great tribulation. This is where it's unbearable. 3.5 and 3.5 is what? Put it on Facebook. 7. It's all broke down in sevens. So as God prepares the atmosphere for the judgment that's going to happen in the world, he has lifted us up out. Let's put up the NASA. NASA means the lift off. NASA, our space program, lifted off and took a man to the moon, right? We lifted up all the satellites that are broadcasting to you right now. Let's go here and look at this real quick. In 2 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore and took away our sins on the tree. If you look up that word took away right there, it is the word NASA, meaning lift off. When Jesus hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, the atmosphere changed. There was a great cloud that happened and the whole world turned dark, the Bible says, and it was as black as night. And Jesus said, it is finished. In other words, NASA happened. The atmosphere changed. And now you're seated with him in heavenly places. You don't get what you deserve. You get what he deserved. And now he's running us to rule and reign here in the earth. Instead of saying, this mask, which is a joke, is going to protect me, you're saying, no, it's not just what's coming in my mouth or out of my mouth. Whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm going to say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in my heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever things he saith. I am not a mere mortal person. I'm here on divine assignment. And even though the world doesn't know what they're doing, there is a lifting off of corona in my life. There's a lifting off of financial oppression over my life. And this is my jubilee. And I won't be fooled by the apocalypse. I will not be fooled by an antichrist. I am serving the only true and living God who knows the mysteries of our hearts. He knows the hairs on the back of our heads, and he knows the number of your days. And he's asking me to ask you today this big question. Will you accept him as your Lord and Savior, or will you just keep on going after corona and say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do the way I want to do it? Or are we going to say today, we're going to expect a turnaround? Come on, somebody ought to shout amen to this right now. You need to understand that biblical prophecy is set up to bring peace to you, not fear. In fact, on Tuesday night, don't miss it, because Matt Hagee is going to preach with me this Tuesday night about the end times. If this has struck your fancy, you're going to love this. This guy's a genius when it comes to that. So don't miss Tuesday night. 1 Thessalonians, let's go there. This is going to bring you comfort. 4:16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air, so we will ever be with him. This is talking about when Jesus raptures the church. This is not talking about Revelation 19 when Jesus comes back after the tribulation. This is when Jesus, you ought to write this down, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. This is when Jesus takes us out, because he knows these guys, the apocalypse is coming in, the four horsemen. He knows that this is going to happen. Let's put it on the screen, guys. These four horsemen are coming back to bring horrible judgments to the earth. During that time, Jesus is taking you up to be seated with him. Matthew 24:44, it says, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour that you do not expect it. Matthew 24:44. Write that down on Facebook for me. He's coming and you must be ready. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is coming. He's coming quickly. In Revelation, he said, behold, I come quickly. No man knows the exact hour or the day. What's that mean? We're getting really close. I want you to put up the dominoes one more time. I want you to see the dominoes one more time if you can. In Acts 2, it started happening and it started moving. And then we got up in 2018, 2019, and then 2020. Somewhere soon, get ready. The birth pains are getting really close. Years ago, Nicole came to me and she said, hey, I'm pregnant. She said, in 9 months from now, 38 to 40 weeks, the doctor said, I'm going to have a baby. Now, he couldn't tell me, the doctor couldn't tell the exact hour. He couldn't tell the exact day. But he knew roughly when it was going to happen. Now, I know eventually it happened. I want to put up a picture of Ashley. And this is just a few days after her birth. Look how cute she is. Her little fingers, her little nose, her little eyes. She's so cute. But we didn't know the day. But one day, there was a breaking of the water. Within a few hours, about 10:15 at night, p.m., at St. Mary's Hospital, there off of Highway 40, there all of a sudden, about 10:15, and I know this because I was watching the weather. Come on, somebody. I was watching the weather. There was a high pressure coming in, but the atmosphere was changing. And then all of a sudden, Nicole gives birth to this baby that was prophesied was going to happen roughly in this time period. I say the church right now needs to understand the apocalypse is here. Apocalypse doesn't mean doomsday. Apocalypse really just means the unveiling, the pulling back. If you would ever go to a Broadway show, say you went to see Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton, there's a big curtain and then there's an apocalypse that happens. They move the curtain back and then off to the stage, there is the presentation. Jesus is telling me to tell you right now that you need to understand it's not a doomsday for the church. God is saying, I'm still in absolute control. I've got the whole world in my hand and no government can unseat him. No scientist can disprove him. No judge can overrule him. No force can overtake him. He is the great I am, the one who is our kinsman to redeemer, the one that's going to split the eastern sky. And while he's having this battle between good and evil, light and darkness, you and I are going to be seated in the grandstand of heaven, sitting back there after 7 years of enjoying our life, while other people who didn't accept Jesus, who lived the way they wanted to live, they said, I can do whatever I want to do. They're going to live through these terrible times of war on the earth, and there's no time for them to repent at that moment if they have taken the mark of the beast. But I'm begging you today, like I told that guy years ago, God told me to warn you, you, sir, are going to lose all your eggs. I didn't want to tell him that. I was uncomfortable. I thought it would separate us. I'm telling you what, though, somebody's going to control your mind. All right now, A.W. Tozer said years ago, a long, long time ago, an old man said, somebody is going to control your mind. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be the advertisers? The public schools? The liberal media? Or is it going to be God? That's the question. That's why the Bible said in Romans 12:2, be not conformed in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must renew your mind. That's why church is not just irrelevant. It is so relevant. It's exactly the way God said he wanted it to be. But who are we to argue now in America? And I'm going to say some things right now, and that's why I want you to share like crazy on Facebook, because what I'm about to say will probably get this pulled off Facebook. We're living in a time that we are incredibly censored. When they're releasing prisoners out and they're saying evil is good and good is evil, they're taking the license plates of church members across America saying they went to church, follow them, stalk them, quarantine them, but they don't do that at Home Depot. And I'm fine with everybody going to Home Depot. I love me some Home Depot. I'm almost thinking now we should have the church in the plumbing department because you can go there. And I'm fine with Starbucks giving you, you know, a coffee. But I'm saying we have been restricted, veiled, covered through a pandemic, saying, don't you say that. Don't you go there. And if you do, if you say what the Bible says today, if I said what the Bible actually said today, I could read you passages of this Bible today that would get me locked up by noon Monday. I would be in jail and jailed for a hate crime. This is four horsemen, please, of the apocalypse. This is an antichrist spirit. Antichrist simply means they're antichrist. We live in a country that is rapidly becoming very much antichrist. I know it's not popular. By the way, I want you to let you know a couple of things I thought about on this sermon today. I built a giga church. A mega church is anything over X thousands. A giga church is anything over 10,000. Built a big church, not by being stupid. I know what to say, and I know what not to say. And what I'm saying right now, most of my friends would say, Crank, don't say that. It's too far out there. You're going to get yourself in trouble. But I'm here to tell you right now, we're living in the last days. Be not fooled. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. And as we're ending this service today, I want you to understand that he's coming back. And he's coming back after a glorious church. There's a wealth transfer that's about to happen. There's a supernatural flow that God is about to unleash upon the church. And don't you think for one minute that this is going to kill you or destroy you. You're going to be purified, tried by fire, and you're coming up on the other side of this pandemic, blessed, favored, anointed, qualified as an overcomer. God's not coming back after a weak, emaciated church, but who are you going to stand with? I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world. And there's a lot of people are judging me right now. But I would rather stand with the word of God and say, God, you judge me. Because one day you and I are going to go to heaven. I want my guys to come. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Say amen to that if you want to come. And at that moment, when you get to heaven, God's going to look at you and he's going to go, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want us to be judged at the great white throne judgment and God look at us and go, you were politically correct and you were absolutely impotent in ministry. You didn't say what needed to be said in accordance with my word. Therefore, go away from me, you worker of iniquity. I want to obey God. How about you right now? I want to give you an opportunity, though, today in a moment to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Whatever you do, because you want to miss this. How many of y'all want to miss this? You want to miss this. Don't be fooled by all the stuff that they're trying to do right now. So much drama, so much amplification, so much restrictions. Your freedoms, I say it again, it might be pulled up Facebook, but your freedoms are being stolen from you, ripped out of your hand. You used to sing a song that said, this land is my land. They proved to you this land isn't your land. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, I give my life for this country. And people have, yet they're beaten on the streets that they gave their life for. It's an interesting time. What is it? It's an antichrist spirit. I still think America is a great country and I love it, but it's not my homeland and it's not your homeland. We come from heaven. We come from a kingdom where our Father is the King. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to pray this prayer with me. Make heaven your home today. Get it right with God today. Don't put all your eggs in the wrong basket. Don't bet on this dark horse. There's a horse of a different color. And the horse that I want you to be looking at today is the one that Jesus is riding back on. He is the only way to heaven. Pray with me right now. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Get me rapture ready, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. I repent of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. And I want to encourage you to share this podcast. And here's the reasons why. You know, a lot of times we see our friends and they don't tell us what's really going on. You go, hey, Bob, are you all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down in their soul, something's going on. And I believe today there were certain things that was said that perhaps would help your friends. So now that you've subscribed, why don't you just text them? Let them know about this resource that's available. Of course, you can check out more sermons at faithchurch.com. And I love praying for you, trying to encourage you in the best way that I can. And I think the best thing we can do is to encourage one another by sharing these podcasts.